Hi, welcome to Gardening Related. This is Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And this is Elizabeth over in New York. How's it going?
It's still hot here.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous. We've had two frosts already, at least.
I'm almost jealous. And you've had rain.
Yeah.
Plenty. Oregon, no rain. Oregon.
Oh.
It's like
the
driest
October.
Well, I mean,
you do have that dry season July through September, October, right?
September, but usually by the first week of October, we're getting the rains and we're getting cold. We could have kept the swimming pool open all this time, but no, we didn't because we didn't know enough. Anyway, how's your week been going?
Oh, it's good. Yesterday, Forrest and I went for a hike. We went to... where'd we go? Spruce Mountain in the Adirondacks. And it was a fire tower trail. So we got up there and then you could climb the fire tower and look over the entire Adirondacks. Oh my God, it was gorgeous. And I did the entire hike barefoot.
No, you didn't.
Uh-huh, I did.
Why? Were your shoes hurting?
No. So Forrest had been reading the benefits of walking barefoot and how it makes you, walk more intentionally and you walk slower and you use more little tiny muscles in your feet. And it's, better for your feet. It's better for you, mental health, all that kind of stuff. So
unless you cut your foot.
Well, yeah, but okay, you also have to remember I have been barefoot since, I was young, forever and ever and ever. So
I remember that.
I grew up always barefoot. So this was not a big deal.
I did too, but sooner or later I learned to put my shoes on. However,
it was amazing.
I'm impressed, frankly. I'm impressed, one, that you didn't go to the hospital. Two, that you're not limping. And three, that it must have been very cold.
No, actually, it was, my feet were a little pink. But you really acclimate. And it's really nice. It's really quite lovely.
Good for you. Yes, you do have to watch. You do have to wear where you put your feet.
Yeah. And it was really nice. It was meditative. It was really beautiful.
And certainly it slows you down.
Which is
a very good thing.
Yeah. I felt like I used more muscles than I would have if I had just been walking with shoes. And that was partly because, every time you step on a rock, you have to do this weird body contortion where you're setting your balance off. So I definitely was more sore after that. And it was a little one. It was 2 miles. So
okay. Oh my God. How long did it take you?
Let's see. We got there around 2 hours. It took us 2 hours, which was the estimated time. So we
was that
this.
Was that a mile up and a mile back?
Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God, that's huge.
And the fire tower barefoot too.
Well, of course, because you're not going to stop and carry your shoes, right?
No.
What did you see? First of all, are the leaves changing there?
Oh my God, the leaves. Well, that's one of the reasons why we were going for a hike. Because it was just a stunning weekend. It was 71 on Saturday. And of course, I had showings all day that day. So we didn't get out then, but it was a great day for some houses.
Yeah, good.
But then yesterday was really lovely. It was cooler, a little bit more overcast, but it was, 65? So it was perfect. Yeah.
But that's kind of, for me, that's always the perfect weather. 65 degrees is when you're moving your body, you need that cool to keep you going in a way.
Exactly.
Well, can you post a picture or two on our website for the pretty leaves people?
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that. That's great. We're still, yesterday was 89.
Oh, madness. That's madness. It's mid-October.
I know. It's been unbelievable. And we went to a bridal conference. No, not a conference. Expo. That's it. A bridal expo. Because we're going to start doing weddings in the house come the new year once we get the porch finished. And that was interesting. And we were up in the city and we saw this great big fire over in southern Washington. And the smoke was just unbelievable over on the Washington side, mm-hmm. north of us. But Portland was still clear. Today, it's kind of smoggy all over, but not too bad. Mm-hmm. And it's cooler today, thank gosh. It's only about 70, but still no rain. Oh. However, we're supposed to have rain by the end of the week.
Well, that's good. Is it going to like break that and go back to?
Well, it looks like it's 5 or 6 days of rain at 60% possibilities. Okay. So at least it'll be overcast, and we'll see. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these fronts then that they predicted a week away just disappear, mm-hmm. you know? So
yeah. They just evaporate.
So we'll see, because they've been going up north and then going way down south, and you guys are getting our rain, believe it or not, 5 days later.
Huh.
So there.
So there. Yeah.
So I have a little story that Haunt and I got a truckload of good gardening soil.
Yeah.
And I usually work from the back of the truck, from the tailgate of the truck. I lower it down. I put a tarp under it so that all of the soil that drops on the gap of the tailgate, the door of the tailgate, will drop down onto a tarp. And you can just pick that up easily enough and put it wherever you want it. To transplant a lot of my houseplants, which haven't had any care for 5 years because I've been too under the weather. And some died, and that's fine. And some are getting revived, and that's wonderful. And so I potted some up, and I had gotten some tuberous begonia tubers on sale. I don't know why I thought that it was smart to buy them in July, but they were really cheap. And now I know why, because they were this year's tuberous begonias, which should have been planted in April.
Oh, no.
So I thought, well, I'm going to winter plant them.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of shallow bulb-like pots that are wide and shallow. And I put 3 to 5 in each one and told Haunt to water them in and stick them up on my shelf in my office, which faces the south. Mm-hmm. And that in Oregon, southern-facing windows are rare. Because most of the storms come from the south. And it's my sunniest window in summer, but it's also just a light window in winter because there's not that much sun.
Yeah.
So they'd be good there. Well, he put them up on the shelf, just great, watered them in and put them up. And I came in to do the podcast today to my office, which I hadn't been in since then, and since the last podcast. And I look down on the ground and I'm thinking, you know, we have two new cats. I'm thinking, have they caught an actual mouse?
Oh, no.
No. Because I saw this funny, furry, kind of funky thing, brown. And I look down and it's one of the tubers of the tuberous begonias. And I'm thinking, how did that get there? And I go to put it back in the pot. And I discovered that both pots have been completely dug up.
Oh, no.
And I'm looking around and here's another tuber and here's another tuber. It's chaos over there right now.
Oh,
it's dirt and tubers have gone awry. So I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm going to have to move them to someplace too high for them to jump to. I don't know where, but I'll have to come up with something.
I know. Oh, no. Foiled again by the cats.
I know, right? So I'm thinking, what can I put in there that they wouldn't like to touch? And the only thing, you know, I know that you're supposed to put foil over bigger plants that you don't want them digging in. Or
but
pebbles.
You can't do that for just tubers that haven't sprouted yet.
No, I can't.
It's impossible.
And with this setback, they may pout and never sprout again. I don't know. So we'll see. I will keep you updated.
Yes, please keep us updated on how the tubers go.
I totally will. They'll probably not show up till next spring if I'm lucky.
Yeah. So, well, I had a cat thing as well. I rescued. You did? I quote unquote rescued two cats. They're beautiful stone cats.
Yes.
Stone lions. You know.
Yes.
They're not fully stone. They're cast concrete. But I love it. I've always That's wanted better. Them. Right? Yeah. I just feel like we have this great step by the garden and it needs a statue of some sort.
Well, perfect.
And these two lions were laying face down and overgrown in weeds in a
place you found them.
In a place that I found them. And I don't know how I got them into the car. It was huffing and puffing.
They must have weighed a ton.
They do. They weigh so much. Yes. So it
and
was.
You're a little thing. You are not, you know, a bodybuilder.
I know. I think they're about my size. They're at least that's what they felt like.
Yeah, that's it. That's your. Yeah. Why didn't you just call Forrest and say, come help me get them?
Oh, you know, you're there and it's like, all right, we're doing this. We're making this happen.
Did you have any help?
No, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You should put some sort of a dolly in the back of your car for any extended circumstances like this. Any
for whatever
finds.
I run into a flea market or a craft store and need additional assistance.
I would definitely do that. I would definitely be putting something in the back of my car for that. If not a small wheelbarrow.
Yeah, I have heard. I was loading up some flowers this summer, and one lady was telling me, you know, always bring plastic garbage bags, pots, and cardboard boxes.
Yes, yes,
yeah, for when you have to walk away with a plant.
You just have to. Nature dictates it. Yes. And it's not from somebody's yard. It's from, you know, nature being kind to you.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And also a shovel helps.
How much do you want to look like you're possibly going to murder someone? You have plastic bag, shovel.
But you don't have zip ties.
Oh,
you
that's
don't have
true.
You don't have duct tape.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't have what's the stuff they put over your mouth to make you pass out?
Oh,
you don't
chloroform. Have chloroform.
Yeah, you don't have that.
You don't know what I have in my glove box.
Oh,
it
I
might
know
be
you.
Chloroform.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, it's car jerky.
Yeah, now for that long. I would believe. Yes, for the vegan in you.
Yeah. Well, you know, long road trips, you got to have
what
some
is it?
Car jerky.
Is it? Car jerky is going to be like carrot jerky for a vegan or beet jerky.
Beet jerky.
Beet jerky.
Kale jerky.
Oh. Kale is jerky. It comes out of the ground like jerky. It just does.
Oh. So we have also been busy putting our garden away for the year. We planted the hairy vetch, which that name cracks Forrest up to no end. He always needs a good 5 minutes.
Wait, you planted vetch?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So it's you said the same thing when I told you that I was planting it a couple weeks ago. So it's
good. Refresh my memory.
So it's a nitrogen booster.
Well, yes, I guess it.
So I'm growing it as a green manure. So this is in my vegetable garden, and in the next couple of weeks, I'm gonna just cut it down and let it mulch itself onto the dirt.
You may have to turn the dirt over to get it to stop growing. Vetch is, I think we had wild vetch in California. And it's beautiful. It's purple blossoms. It's very, very pretty. And it's wild peas, isn't it? Or wild...
Ah, let's see. Oh, I actually I have the seeds right here.
Because peas set the nitrogen in soil, so I think wild peas would too.
That makes sense. That tracks. Yeah. Yeah.
But you could also just grow peas.
Here we go.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were very pea-like when I planted them.
They come in smaller. Their flowers are beautiful. They're a kind of a mid-purple. They're really pretty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real pretty purple flowers, and they have like peas, they're trying to climb. Of course I gave them nothing to climb, but
well, they kind of entangle themselves together.
So yeah, sprawling lawn vines, they're creating thick mats, which are great for adding organic matter. And so they're a winter hardy cover crop that puts a lot of quick green growth in spring on sprawling long vines.
So, honey, I think what they mean for you to do, now, I don't know for sure, is that in spring, you turn it over. Take off the seeds so that you don't just get vetch after vetch after vetch.
Right.
Take off the seeds and turn the whole vine into your soil to add to the nitrogen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that as it composts down there, you're improving the soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to cover it over with other mulch in the wintertime. Like rip it up, but not turn the soil.
Well, it may keep growing then in the spring, and then you can't get rid of it. You need to turn it. So that those vines are in the soil and they start decomposing.
Got it. Got it. Even if I like pull it up and then mulch over it, because I've heard turning soil can be disruptive.
It can be if you're going to till it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and rototill it. And that breaks up. That hurts the worms.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to hurt the worms. We have great worms.
Yeah, I know you do. So instead, take shovelful and literally shovel down where the vetch plant is and turn it upside down and do it again to the next vetch and the next and the next. So that you may have a bumpy top for a while, but you don't care.
No, not at all.
And then as it crumbles down and decomposes, as that vine decomposes, you're going to have very rich soil, nitrogen-rich soil. Okay?
Okay, great. Great, yeah. The other one that I got, which I didn't end up planting, is, but I think it's interesting, is another recommended...
Yeah?
Winter cover crop, or actually, yeah. I think you plant this one in, hold on, tillage radish. It's a great choice for those seeking to bring heavy or compressed soils into cultivation. After being winter killed, its powerful roots become vertical air shafts for soil. So I didn't plant this one, but it adds tilth without tillage.
Yes.
So it just loosens everything up.
So what you do is you plant that next spring and leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Water it if it needs watering and leave it alone. And then when it gets too cold, it will die.
Yeah.
And then the shoot of it, the carrot of it, or the radish part of it, the root part of it.
Yeah.
Brings air and... I'll think of the word. I really will.
Like green matter.
Yes. Yeah. Organic matter. That's the word. Organic matter to the root, to the soil, and it breaks up some of the soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. You can also do that with carrots, although carrots have a tendency to pout.
Oh, they need care.
They need care. And also you can do that with cow parsley.
Oh, yeah.
Now, cow parsley, it's probably native.
Mm-hmm.
Out here, it's discouraged because it reseeds so quickly. It just goes all over the place, and you can't control it. I have to constantly pull it up from my proper beds. Once in a while, because it looks like Queen Anne's lace, I let it grow. Then I'm very, very sorry that I have only cow parsley for that whole bed for a whole long time.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. I mean, there are some things that, you know, if you're in a field.
Yeah.
This next year, I've been toying with putting in some cow parsley to break up the clay, because we have very heavy clay. And also to put in bird seed.
Ah, yeah.
I would like to plant some bird seed that grows up and then it dries the seed, you know, it goes to seed and it dries. And if you cut it off and dry it, you can put it in a bag and then feed your birds all winter, or just leave it on the dang stalk and let the birds feed.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they can find it themselves too.
Yes. And that's what I planned on doing, because they're going to need food.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea.
And I'm going to do it in a field, you know, where I can set up a small water. Yeah. I can set up a small watering system, and it doesn't matter what else grows next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be fine there.
Yeah. I love it.
Out in my orchard.
That's awesome.
So apart from getting ready for fall, mm-hmm. in terms of what you want to plant, like petunias are finished, but pansies are now in.
Oh, and, yeah.
And ornamental cabbages and kales.
Mm-hmm.
And you could.
And squashes, all of the funky squashes and pumpkins that you could dream
you
of.
You could
right
harvest.
Now.
That's right. That's yeah. right. You could. That's good for harvesting right now. Starting things now. If you have a greenhouse or a covered something, you could start spinach and lettuce because they're short crops. it might be that you have to start them indoors and then set them outside. It would have been better a month earlier, because then you'd be eating them right. now, and they like the cool weather, but don't worry about it. otherwise, it's time to kind of pick up the man-made stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, thank gosh.
Time to put the garden to bed.
Yeah. We rest. We need to rest.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I learned in master gardening was that you need to take care of your tools. And you've got all winter to do it. And oftentimes people go, oh, I'll do that after Christmas when I don't have to wrap any more presents and it's dull in January. But then the seed catalogs come.
That's true.
And the this and the that, and you need to do this. And in your area, you might need to shovel snow instead of, you know, clean your...
That's true. That's very true.
And it might be too cold in your tool sheds or in your garage or wherever you store them. So I like to do it kind of hand in glove with the fall weather. and you can take in a clipper or two at night. Do you know that one of the best ways to get rid of rust on tools is to soak it in vinegar, white vinegar.
Huh. Okay.
Overnight.
That makes sense. Overnight. Oh, wow. You know, I really need to get a, one of those rocks that sharpens, you know,
yes.
sharpens my blades, because I have, pruners that started out in the spring, just amazing. And now they're not.
and you're going to need that for the roses that you prune later on, because you need a really sharp pruner so that you don't hurt the stems that you're going to clip off.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I am considering murder.
Okay.
I am considering.
You got chlorophyll in your glove compartment, don't you?
Chlorophyll. That's a gardener's murder weapon.
Stop laughing at me.
Oh, yeah, Rebecca, I have so much chlorophyll. I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine.
This isn't now what a is true it? Crime gardening podcast.
Chloroform, is that it?
Chloroform.
Okay.
Oh my God, like, that was the best.
Okay, fine. Oh. Your father used to laugh at me too. My malapropisms.
Oh, Oh, so that was so good though.
Stop it.
Okay, anyway. Very serious topic, because I'm considering, actually, I've pretty much decided that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to murder my roses.
All of them?
Well, I have these three roses, I think, three or four, and they're not doing well in the garden bed that they're in. They're overshadowing the peonies, and they're not particularly good roses. I think I have who's the guy? The guy rose that you graft all the pretty roses onto?
Professor Huey.
I think I have a bed of just boring Professor Huey, and he grows long and tall, only blooms once.
Really?
I deadheaded them. He only gave me one bloom.
Well, usually Professor Huey goes on and on. Oh. But it could be that you have an old, old rose. Before they started hybridizing them a whole lot, roses only grew once, only produced one blooming in China. And then the hybridizers got a hold of them, and lo and behold, we got repeat blooms. That was, it took them years and years and years.
Do I have an antique rose that I need to save? Oh, if it's hot.
No. If it's highly fragrant. Mm-mm. Is it highly fragrant?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Then you probably just got a junk rose. Mm. Now, there are people on the planet who would kill for junk roses to put along a long fence that gets a lot of water. Mm-hmm. That doesn't care if it doesn't bloom more than once. Did you water it?
Yeah. Yep.
Does it get more than 6 hours of sun a day?
It does.
Well, then you have a one-time bloomer, and there are people, and I would put it out there for anybody in the Albany area, New York area, to come help you dig up those roses.
This is not a no-kill shelter rose garden.
Well, it can be, because very rarely do you get all of the rose out. All of a sudden, just like a bad penny, here comes a little sprout of a rose, and before you know it, you've got some more.
Oh wow!
I don't want that rose. So, and it's the right time of year to do it. They need to go dormant. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to save it, they need to go dormant. So between now and say Christmas, depending upon the snowfall and the cold. I mean, if it's too freezing, your ground will freeze. It needs to be done. Out west, it's different. My ground doesn't freeze. Mm-hmm. So out west, we plant them in January because they're dormant.
Right.
But back there, you need to be digging it up in the next little bit before the grounds freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Put it out there. Okay.
Very mature roses that only bloom once and don't have any scent. They're pretty. They're fuchsia.
They are pretty. They're fuchsia.
They're fuchsia. But yeah, I don't want them.
And that's okay. Now, you know that where the roses were, you can't plant another rose until and unless you dig up all of the soil around it. We're talking massive amounts of soil with that rose in there.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
And replace it.
No way. So, okay. Is there anything else that I can't put in a previous rose bed?
Well, just any rose. Okay. Roses seem to resent being replaced, you know, in the same place.
I so respect that.
So what they need... What they need is to, you have to completely dig out the soil. And even then, sometimes, I mean, I dug out the soil and moved the gate to where I wanted it, this arch where I wanted it, 3 feet away from where the rose was, planted a boxwood in that 3 feet, and then the rose. And it still pouted and died.
No.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Oh my God. I never would have known that roses are that petty.
Yeah, they are.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you lost a rose.
That
does stink.
It does. It does. And this year I may be losing more than one. So, but we'll talk about that in the winter when we don't have anything else to talk about. We'll talk about death and dying. So yes, I would do that, Elizabeth. And then I would put in a lilac.
Or yeah. Well, I have a nice little bed, and there's three beautiful peonies that just didn't get a chance. And there's already some bee balm in that garden. So we got one tulip. So I'd like to plant
more tulips.
More tulips. you know, and make it a pretty floral garden. I'll do right by the rose. I'm gonna, you know, make it better.
Listen, if you plant the tulips behind the peonies, you won't be sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the tulips and your peonies, are they the ones that I gave you from Costco?
No, those I'm very excited about. Those are in the new garden that I put out by the on our like little outdoor backyard patio. So we should have four peonies coming up there, and another four or five peonies coming up in the front bed in the front yard.
Nice.
So yeah, no,
that's
those
nice.
They're getting quite the space and, you know, love good. And care.
But they'll be small and they might not bloom the first year.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But tell me about these peonies, because I saw some peonies in your garden when I was there when you got married.
Yeah.
Are those the ones that are pouting? And doing worse?
Well, they only did poorly this year because the roses were right in front of them. And I don't think they got enough, you know, lights or space. Yeah, those roses are huge. I think they might be getting choked out underground, too.
Okay. So. Please know that peonies resent being moved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a kind of an old wives' tale in some ways, because if you've got a peony that, like, Haunt and I just had our peonies all dug up because we've got so much weeds in it that we're going to just take care of the weeds and then put the peonies aright again. And we've been here for 12 years and it's fine to divide them. It's time.
Yeah.
So, my dear, peonies that have been in your garden for a while are going to have a large root base.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time to dig them up. Don't wait much longer because they need to get into some new soil and establish a few roots to get them through the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So dig them up and try to get as much of a massive ball as you can. And see, maybe some of them are rotten. Maybe some of them are dying. Maybe some of them have got a fungus on them.
Mm-hmm.
Take a good hard look and see. Also, do you cut them back?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay. So cut them back.
Okay.
Because what you're doing is if you haven't cut the peony shaft off, the actual flower shaft, it goes to seed.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't cut that off, you're giving all the energy to the seed shaft instead of to the plant.
Oh no, I messed up my peonies this year. Oh shoot.
Okay.
Well, we only got a couple blooms. But I left them on the peony because I was like, well, I'm not gonna cut the one flower that the plant has. You know,
I understand
that just feels cruel.
But once it goes to seed, you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cut that down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave stubs. And all of the dying leaves, cut those off.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You're at that place now where your peonies are going dormant.
Yeah.
And I will look it up for you. I had a peony expert give a talk at a garden club once, and she said, don't manure your peonies. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out why, but they didn't like it. So there's some food they do like, probably compost.
Mm-hmm.
So give them compost.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then always de-seed, you know, cut off the seed when you're... After your blooms die off, cut them off.
Yep.
Deadhead them.
Deadhead them. Cool.
Okay. So that would be nice. And also you're going to stick some tulips around them. And that would be nice.
Yep.
That'll be really, really pretty.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, you know, we'll do a nice, pretty little flower bed there. And yeah. Yeah. And so that's the garden. And then I am also thinking about where else I want to plant. I bought some seeds that we can talk about in another time, but I already overbought. I know. So I'm planning.
Welcome to gardening.
So I'm planning like, oh crap, I have to put another bed in.
Yeah. Or just get a whole lot more pots.
Yep. I put 4 beds in this past summer. It looks like I'm going to put at least another one in before the year is out. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. And also you can extend them.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's what I'm going to do, actually, is I have 2 vegetable gardens that are a little far away from each other, and I'd like to turn them into one big, massive.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you have a walkthrough so that you can get to the back. You don't have to walk all 30 feet around it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give yourself a little stepping walkthrough, mm-hmm. so that you know where the steps are that you can go there, mm-hmm. because other people will trample, you know, oh, what's this?
Yep.
And it's like, get off my poppy seedlings, you know?
No. Yeah.
Oh, so tools. Let's get to tools for a minute.
Yes.
So all of your tools need to be kind of spiffed up for the new year. That means the rust gone, so soak them overnight and then brush them off with a hard, stiff brush, bristle brush. You're going to need all different kinds of brushes. You're going to need a wire brush. You're going to need several old toothbrushes, stiff ones. You're going to need a good plastic hard bristle brush that you can wash out. And you scrub them down, get the dirt off of them. If they're rusty, stick them in the vinegar overnight. And then bring them out, rinse them. And then you need some oil to oil them. And there's pruning oil. Mm-hmm. I think it's mineral oil. Mineral oil that you need to, so that the parts move easily, so that you can you can easily close and open it. It doesn't get stuck. Yeah. You need to sharpen them. And there are, I'm sure, I can't teach you on a podcast because it's just radio, but there are probably 1,000 videos on how to sharpen your tools. And I don't go out in the garden without pruners and a sharpener. And I sharpen mine about every 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
I don't live without a sharpener in my pocket.
That's great.
I mean it, in the garden. Because you can... I'm trying to think of the word for it. You can strip a rose. If you've got a dull pruner, it doesn't go all the way through and it leaves this strip of skin on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then you try to pull it off and it strips the rose back to a node you don't want. You need to have or it mushes and mashes the stem. Mm-hmm. And that creates bugs. It creates a resentment in the plant. I'm telling you, oh my God, do they resent it? It creates all kinds of stuff. So your pruners, the kindest cut is the sharpest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you get to sharpen your pruners with?
There's 2 different things I get. And I get a stone. Mm-hmm. And use it at a 45 degree angle on one side of the pruner, how do I want to say that? Cutter. Mm-hmm. So there's a blade. If you use it on both sides of a bypass pruner, you're going to make a
gap, right?
Yes. Yes. So you don't use it on the backside. Mm-hmm. You don't 45 degree it. On the backside, I wish I could show you my app. On the backside, I lay it flat just to get all of the leavings off, all of the little crumbles off of it. Mm-hmm. On the front side, I do a 45 degree angle like you would with a knife. Mm-hmm. And I have that, and there's a little red instrument that they also sell with a small little...
And it has the angle all set for you. So all you have to do is go through it. Yeah, I've seen those.
You can do that. Or there's one that's straight and you just 45 degree angle it. And after a while, I was like, what's 45 degrees? And I didn't know what I was doing. And I probably dulled some at first. And after a while, you can feel when it's resistant enough to actually do good. And then after a while, I brought it into my kitchen and I use it on my kitchen knives now.
Yeah.
And I can feel at the top of the blade very delicately. You can feel when it's really dull or when it's starting to get sharp. So you can do that with your pruners too. And it's really, really, really important to keep them sharp.
Yes.
And let's pretend that you're 10 years into gardening and you know about how to sharpen and you have, you've sharpened your blade down to the nub practically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can buy new blades. You can go onto Google or to Amazon or to any store in your area probably and buy a pruning kit to match your pruner. You have to know what size your pruner is, what make and model it is. Like Felcos are very, very expensive Swiss made and Felcos are numbered.
Oh.
Two through, I don't know, 18 or something. Anyway, and so you have to know what number yours are because the blades and the kits are different sizes. Some are small, some are very large. And so you can go buy a kit. You can do it online. You can do it at a good nursery in your area. a garden, a supply shop, an agricultural shop might have them. And I highly recommend that. I've taken my pruners apart and put new blades on them and they're good as new.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should keep your pruners in good condition. Not like me that leaves them out in the garden for 6 months at a time because I lost them because I ran to answer the phone and then I had to make dinner and then I did the laundry like that.
Right. Right. Of course. Of course. And I think that's so much better to keep your pruners sharp as you go and to also know that you can fix them. You know, you don't have to buy new. You don't have to run out and buy new. It's maintaining your tools. It's so important.
No, yeah. A Felco pruner will cost you $85.
Oh my God.
You know, and I've had gardeners put huge chips in my blades.
Ah.
Huge chunks. And just leave it. Boy, did that tick me off. But I get a kit. Bing, bang, boom. I exchange the thing. You need to de-rust it. Mm-hmm. You need to clean it up anyway. You need to make sure that things are kind of working. Some things of mine don't work in the pruners, but that's okay. I can still make the most important parts work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had my pruners since 1990.
Oh my God.
Some of them. Some of them. I bought Felcos because there wasn't any knockoffs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Knockoffs are good usually for a season or two, unless you get a really good knockoff. Costco made a great two pairs of pruners, a smaller and a larger, for $28 for two of them with kits for interchanging them out. and I bought probably four kits of those because they were really good. They were like a Felco.
And God, I love Costco, right?
I do. They don't make them anymore, which is a shame because I buy them more because I found that some of my pruners have gone missing. But the thing that you need to remember is that you need to start making really heavy duty adjustments to your tools now because in spring, when it's warm enough to stay in your garden, it's also warm enough for the weeds to grow and you should be out weeding instead of taking care of your tools.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And January, it's too dang cold. So you need to do the same with your shovels and your trowels. your trowels. And that is de-rust them. First of all, get all the dirt off. Brush it off. Wash it off. Get it off. Then de-rust them in vinegar or whatever. And I like the vinegar because it's natural.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It doesn't corrode the metal. It just gets the rust off. And then make sure the handles, if they're wooden handles, paint them.
Oh, yeah.
And paint them something bright that you don't have that color in your garden.
Yeah, not green. Do not paint
not
them
green.
And do not paint them brown.
No. Paint them something bright so that they will show up. I paint mine orange for obvious reasons.
Because you hate orange?
Yes. And so mine are orange or ready orange, because then I know that it doesn't belong in my garden as a flower. And so it's out there as a tool and I better run and go get it.
Well, that makes sense. That or makes yellow. A lot of sense. Yeah.
And also there's a paint now that you can buy that you can dip the handles into that's rubberized. So it will give you a grip. Cool. So it will give you a grip. Yeah. So you need to do all that. And then you need to dip them into a bucket full of sand that has got oil in it, mineral oil in it.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like you mix up a sandy oil. Oily sand. You dump it in a bucket and you stick your tools in it. And that will give your tools a sort of protection.
No way.
Huh. Yeah. Yes. It doesn't have to be for the full winter, but it doesn't hurt either.
That's the other thing, funny.
Yes. The other thing about shovels is shovels need to be as sharp as your pruners.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you take your handy dandy sharpener. Mm-hmm. And you go at a 45-degree angle along where you're going to put the shovel into the dirt, whether it's a straight edge, which actually isn't a digging shovel, but we'll talk about that another time, or a digging shovel, which has the foot thing on it so that it won't kill the sole of your shoe, or any other kind of shovel that you've got. You need to sharpen them. This is both sides. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you get the dirt off them. Of course, you get the rust off of them. You take care of the handle and you stick them in the oily sand. It sounds like it's a huge amount, but once you've got that bucket of oily sand, and like, make it a big one. Make it a 5-gallon bucket.
And where do you get the oil? So what
you get? It's mineral oil.
Mineral oil. Okay. Okay. Huh.
Okay.
That is so weird. Okay. I'm going to go fill up a bucket with sand. I mean, we have sand on hand now.
Good. Make sure it's not salty.
Oh.
Make sure it's not salty. It's got to be play sand or just, you know, sand that you buy at the hardware store. Sand is cheap. Yeah. It's heavy. So take forest with you. It doesn't come in 1-pound bags. It comes in like 15 or 20-pound
bags. No, yeah. Yeah, no, I've lifted 40-pound bags of sand. Yeah.
And you don't want it in a plastic bucket because you're in a very hard frost. You want it in a metal bucket.
Oh, God, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah.
Invest in a good metal bucket so that your sand doesn't break in the plastic with the shovel sticking in too hard like that.
Yeah, because you don't want oily, greasy sand everywhere in your garage.
No. And then in the spring, all your tools are ready. You've got nice sharp pruners. You've got sharp, beautiful conditioned shovels and trowels. Mm-hmm. You've got handles that work that don't give you splinters. Mm-hmm. It's good.
And you'll be a much more effective gardener.
Oh, you'll feel so smug.
Mm-hmm.
You'll feel so smug. And one of the things that I really encourage people to do, when I learned about in Master Gardeners about tools and stuff, I learned that you need to buy your trowels and stuff, your shovels, from a reputable place that makes them all in one piece.
Mm.
Because I've had trowels that are made out of crap plastic or plastic metal. Mm-hmm. And the handle is plastic. And I put this crappy metal trowel into digging for a bulb in hard clay soil. And the damn thing bends.
Oh, God. I hate that.
It bends.
Yep.
Or the handle falls off.
Mm. Yep. So and you're left with this tiny little nub of metal that you can barely grab, never mind get leverage on. And
that's
you're
right.
Stuck. You're always stuck underneath like a tough root or halfway in something. Yep.
And then you have to run to the store and buy something that you should have bought in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So if your relatives, God love them, bring you bad tools for Christmas, take them, get wherever they bought them from and take them back and spend the extra $5 or $10 per and get yourself the decent one. It will save you days.
Mm-hmm.
It might save a whole crop of tulips. Because you didn't get back to it in time.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really important.
invest in good tools.
Yes. Yeah. And I really hated that because I could get a tool for a buck. Mm-hmm. I was like, woohoo.
Yeah.
And it was worth that. It wasn't worth the money of the gas to drive back to the store to buy the good one.
Ugh.
I was so mad. I was so mad. So don't be frightened to invest in your tools if you're really getting the garden bug.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a good shovel. Buy one that looks like it can stand up. Take a look at how the handle is connected to the shovel head.
Mm-hmm.
If it's wood or if it's fiberglass. Also, if you're buying for a woman, if you're buying just for you and you, your husband refuses to garden, not like mine, thank God, you need a lightweight shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the fiberglass are really heavy. So you might buy a wooden shovel, but you can take care of it. You can paint the handle.
Yeah.
You can do all kinds of things and take care of it. Also, you need to know that there are what I call lady shovels. When I discovered this, I was turning 50s, and the shovels were getting heavier and heavier for me every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered these lady shovels. They've got a nice tall handle and a mini shovel head. About the size of my hand, a little bit wider than my hand can outstretch. But I can go for hours with that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So worth it. Are they called lady shovels?
I don't know what they're called.
called lady shovels.
You can find them at Home Depot. They're right next to the big shovels. You can find them at Home Depot. You can find them at Lowe's. You can probably find them at any hardware store.
That's awesome.
I don't know what they're called. Probably lady shovels.
I like lady shovels.
I think that's a really good name.
Yeah.
They are so important for women to be mm-hmm. able to, you know, because years and years and years and years ago, when the Chinese were working to build the railroads, they mm-hmm. did a study on how much a man could lift continuously. And they found out it was 14 pounds. He could keep going on 14 pounds, but women can't do that.
No.
Maybe for us, it's 8 or 9.
Yeah. And it is so frustrating because like when you start looking at things, like there was a string of videos going around the internet a couple of months or years ago, whatever, of women comparing how they were using like gloves or masks with COVID. And like, I know this firsthand. If I were to put the mask under my chin where it's supposed to rest, it would cover my entire face, including my eyebrows. Like this was not meant for me. This is not meant for my style of human. And like knives, cars, you know, all these different things are just not designed for women.
I know.
It's
I not do not that understand.
We're weaker, it's just things were designed completely without us in mind at all.
I know. I do not understand. Cars have been in existence since the 1920s, 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there still is not one single place for a woman to put her purse. Not one.
Just give us pockets. Just give us actual pockets. That's what we want.
However, I'd still take the first place in the car.
Yeah, true.
GM, if you're listening, any of your car makers, if you're listening, a purse designated place.
It's so
we
awkward.
Need that.
You have to stick it on the passenger side or in the back on the hump.
Or on the passenger side leg area so they have less leg space.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Or in the back where the kids have less leg space mm-hmm. and then you have to reach back there. It's ridiculous.
It is.
Women have been carrying purses since the 1800s, at least. Serious purses.
Mm-hmm.
And why we don't have a designated place for it, I don't know. Lady shovels. Let me tell you something. You can go for hours with a lady shovel where you can only go for a couple of minutes with a man's one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it will empower you. Mm-hmm. You will be able to look at a bed of soil and say, yes, I can do this.
I like it.
I can do this. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really, really important. The last thing I want to talk about and getting ready for spring now is, remember, you're not going to rake up your leaves unless you put them into a big pile for leaf mold. And you're not going to cut off all of your annuals because you're going to leave the seeds for the birds to eat. But you need all of the pots that you've used this year. You're going to dump that soil into your compost pile so that it will get enriched so that in the next year it will become glorious compost for you.
Yes. And
it will absolutely increase your compost by many fold.
Mm-hmm.
But the pot itself needs to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a plastic pot, I want you to stick it in a tub full of coolish, tepid water, nothing so that it'll hurt your hands, and 10% of that water is Clorox.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say a tub is if you've got a lot of them, you can do a lot of them at once.
Yeah.
Stick them in there, let them soak, get them all the way down, get them completely drenched, let them soak in there for 10 minutes, take them out and rinse them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're set to go. If it's clay, you may want to just rinse it really, really well, spray a little Clorox on there, rinse the Clorox off and go. You may not want to soak that Clorox into the clay.
So you're sanitizing all of your pots. Yeah, that makes
you're
sense.
Doing, yes, yeah. Because if they could be full of fungus or a bug or, God help you, eggs of
an animal,
a bug. Yeah. So you need to kind of clean that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to sanitize your pots because your pots need to be clean. And especially the pots that you use for seeds.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So all of your seed starting pots, they need that Clorox thing.
Mm-hmm.
Serious. Do it in the kitchen sink, then rinse them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then let them air dry. You don't have to fuss a lot with them, but you need to let them soak in Clorox for 10 minutes and then air dry and then rinse and air dry.
That makes sense.
And then you're ready. And I don't do this. I just need you to know that I do it when I start growing the seeds and I curse a bloody blue streak from here to the Clorox bottle because I just wanted right then and there to get going on my seeds and I haven't done it and I'm disorganized and dang it, I wish I'd done it.
Yep. These are best kept secrets from people who should take their own advice.
In the meantime, enjoy the harvest, the fall, the winter, all the wonderful food you're going to make and know that each step by step, each month, while there's a to-do list that I call the Nazi essence of gardening, you know, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. Know that if you skip it, and I skipped it for 5 years, it's really okay.
Yeah.
You do have to learn how to let go of plants that you loved. And there are other plants that you're going to have to let go of because they're too big.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the other thing is that you can divide plants right now. Divide your perennials.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that requires a sharp knife.
Which, so, see the earlier notes in the podcast.
That's right. And also, you know, you can sharpen your knives with that stone because I've done it with my knives, my kitchen knives. I hate cutting onions.
Yeah.
Because I can't get my knife sharp enough. Well, I brought that little sharpener in, that little red one. And I sharpened my kitchen knives with it. And I didn't cry when I chopped up onions.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really a big deal.
A clean cut is a kind cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Well, what are you having for dinner?
Leftover Chinese. What are you having?
Ooh, I love leftover Chinese. I was just craving it this morning. Oh, so good.
Well, come on over.
Okay, I'll be right there.
We've got enough for an extra plate. Okay.
We had leftover fajitas tonight.
Oh, yum. That's great. Good. Did you make guac?
No, I did not. Forrest made the fajitas yesterday. So it was just
easy.
The simple.
You know, I found that with a heavy Mexican food, I like to have a sort of a vinaigretted, tossed, simple salad.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just some shredded iceberg and some shred and a little bit of onion and tomato. You guys should probably, Forrest doesn't like the tomato, but because it counterbalances the heaviness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good. It's a good taste in your mouth.
I agree. I had olives as my green.
There you go. That's a good one. That's a vinaigrette-y kind of a thingy.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yes.
All right, sweetheart. Yeah. We love you whole bunches.
All right. Love you whole bunches.
We'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
I like that.